and executing perform the function in me. Exercise the power of the chairperson. I will now, members, now call on for nomination.
Thank you. I would like to nominate Jackie Mofokeng.
Ms. Jackie Mofokeng, are you accepting the nomination of the acting chairperson?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Any further nominations?
No, I support that.
Okay. Any further nominations, members? Okay. Now I will call Ms. Jackie Mofokeng to come forward and take a picture as the acting chairperson. Thank you very much, members.
Thank you very much. Good morning. Good morning, all the members, and good morning to the team of Sosira. You are welcome to this meeting. I want to apologize for starting at 15 minutes late, and we're hoping that they will actually now push from there. Members, can we look at the agenda that is here, the consideration of the 2018-2019 annual report of the private security industry regulation, regulatory authority, financial statement and performance. We'll actually allow, thank you, Honourable Member, we'll allow the Chief Justice to introduce you.
Thank you, Chair. May I ask the Chairperson of the Council to introduce me?
Thank you, Chairperson. May I kindly introduce the team and thank you for accepting us today. The team is led by the CEO and Director of the show. We also have our CFO on my right hand line, and on my left hand line, we have the Deputy Director responsible for law enforcement, Advocate Van, and then Sabo Kupa, the Parliamentary Officer, and our leader person. As you can see, Chairperson, we are very generous and that is we more or less comply to your request last time that we shouldn't bring only the eight by this
thank you. Thank you very much. We have three apologies. As an apology of the chairperson and the whip, and also the apology of the Honourable Patrick and Honourable Peacock for their both sick. I think the marathon session from Monday and Tuesday has been hectic, but we're hoping that they will get well soon. Thank you, Whip Mashiko, for standing for the apology. I know that you'll be having a meeting soon. Commissioners and members. Over to you for the presentation.
Thank you, Chairperson. In terms of the overview of the presentation, Chairperson, we'll take you through the overview of the industry, the operational overview and key highlights, and we'll also touch briefly on the performance information report, the governance report, a little bit about the human capital management, as well as financial information, and also we'll look at the commitment to improve internal controls. I'll just skip the delegation. Chairperson, the map in front of you, Chairperson, in front of the members, is the geographic spread of security officers. This is just an update as to where we are in terms of security officers registered as well as the businesses registered. On the white numbers, it indicates the number of businesses that operate in the various provinces, and the on top is the number of security officers in that province. We can see that the majority of security officers are sitting in Gauteng as well as KZN and Western Cape. I think this is a percentage representation of the security officers across, also Gauteng is 37%, followed by 18% in KZN and Western Cape, 12%. Thank you, Chairperson. I think the next slide is the businesses. It is a reflection of the same representation of security officers. If you look at the percentage, how Gangston is by 39%, followed by KZN at 19% and 11% in Western Cape. I'll move on to the key highlights on the operational review. Chairperson, we're very happy to announce that we have received a clean audit certificate in this financial year, something that we've tried for many, many years, trying to improve the controls. We've also managed to achieve 85% of our planned targets, which is 3% above what we've achieved last year. I'm also happy to announce that for the past 5 years, I think, we have never received anything less than 80%. So at some point, we will get to the 100%. I will explain later how we get to the 85% and what actually drops the 5% from 100%. We've also managed to ensure that there is 37,000 security officers that were inspected. These inspections refers to individual security officers that are deployed elsewhere around the country. And we have also conducted inspections in 6,000 companies. During our operations, Jefferson, we managed to arrest 377 individuals who were breaking the law in terms of the CERA Act. And we did that out of 53 operations which we conducted with our stakeholders, mainly being the SAPS as well as the Department of Labor and Home Affairs. We've inspected 1,498 companies that are utilizing firearms. We've also ensured that we prosecuted about 1,458 companies that were breaking or contravening the code of conduct. In the same year, Chairperson, we've managed to impose fines to the value of 32 million to those that were convicted for contravening the code of conduct. And the average days of finalizing our prosecutions is 52 days, which I think President is improving year on year. In terms of the going ahead with our strategic achievement, Chairperson, 105 security officers were registered in the same year, which is also an improvement looking at the previous year. 1,616 businesses were registered, 16 businesses were registered, about 440,000 cost reports were captured, but this is, we will explain how it makes later on the representation of the training in terms of how many people were trained and so on.
I didn't quite get that.
My apologies. I'm just trying to switch off the... My apologies, Jackson. The renewal of certificates, we've done 283,000 certificates. We've had an increase of about 5.5% in terms of the number of female security officers that have entered the industry. Have been registered with us, and from those that are employed, I think the increase is just a marginal one of 2.48%. But generally, we're seeing an increase in the number of female security officers entering the industry. We've done about 160 public awareness campaigns, ranging from sharing with our stakeholders what the role of CERA is, and also what the role of the industry is. And in terms of compliance as well, we've managed to launch in the same financial year an office in Bloemfontein as well as new offices in Bombela. We've always had offices in Bombela. The current office that we've launched recently is a bigger one than the previous one. In terms of the performance information, Chairperson, we've tried to, and apologies again, you will see that there's a slight difference from the slides that you have and the one that we have presented. In the middle of the bar, we actually tried to name to put the regions there. The first one is the target, the second one is the achieved, as well as, and then the other one is not achieved. So So the first program is law enforcement program. The first program is not law enforcement. The first program is your administration program. We've achieved 75%. There is two key performance indicators that were not achieved in there, which actually amounted to the 25% that we've lost there. One is we could not implement the guarantee fund. The second is that we could not implement the registration of the training academy for internal employees. So there's only two there. As you can see on the law enforcement, which is program two, we've achieved 100% of our targets. And the third one is the research, communication and training. The 78% of our target. What we did not achieve there, amongst others, is the number of average days for registration of security officers. But I must say that we're still far, far, far ahead from the benchmark around the world in terms of the number of days we take to register security officers. I will hand over to Advocate Mbana to take us through the law enforcement achievements. Thank you.
I'm going to take you through slide 13 up until slide 18. At law enforcement, we've got a very beautiful strategy that is called hybrid strategy. It's kind of a dual approach strategy where we have a more lenient strategy towards the industry as well as a more harsher strategy towards the industry. The linear strategy is where we do compliance inspections to the industry. We do ad hoc inspections. We go to the security companies. We go and inspect the individuals. We invite the companies to call us so that we can lecture them. We can do awareness campaigns. We educate them about the do's and don'ts, about the laws, about all the relevant pieces of legislation, so that they are not found on the wrong side of the law. We see from the presentation that is there that there is appetite from the companies, there is appetite from the individuals. The numbers of the companies that we have inspected have grown a great deal. And when you look on the other side of the slide, under law enforcement, that is where we realize that the companies that are there, they understand what is it that is supposed to be done, but they deliberately not comply with the law. We get calls from the industry, we get calls from the concerned citizens complaining about things that are not done by the companies, about things that are not done by the individuals. We then become harsher and impose fines. We realize that our previous regulations were saying we must impose 100,000 accounts. And when we were doing that, that was not really serving purpose because the companies as well as individuals continued non-complying and decided to up the game and increased our fine to a million account. As a result, the companies and the industry are now complying. If you compare the level of compliance now, it's kind of reducing, it's kind of increasing. If you compare to the previous financial year. In the previous year, we inspected 2,514 companies, and this financial year we inspected 2,252. And the number is reducing, not because we are not doing inspections, but it's reducing because we are so vocal. It's reducing because they know now that there is a regulator that is going out there and doing the investigation vigorously. So these two processes that we have put in place, the compliance side of it as well as the enforcement side of it, are really working. The authority is having lots and lots of powers. One of the powers that people are not mindful of is the power to arrest. We are doing a lot of arrest as the authority. We open a lot of criminal cases, and we don't just open those criminal cases and leave them to subs. we assist SAPS, we make sure that we go and testify so that our cases can see the day in court. If you check in the slide that is there, the cases that we've opened the financial year are more than the previous financial year. There is a current case in Durban where we arrested 8 officers as well as the director. They were arrested last year, June. They are still in custody as we are talking. We made sure that we even appeared for bail application and bail was denied. It proves that we don't just, as Sira, open cases and leave it to the police for the police to decide. And when we move to the next slide that talks to dockets according to security business sizes, at some point there were complaints that we are targeting particular companies. We've got different sizes of companies at Sira, medium, small, medium to large. If you check that slide, our concentration is balanced. The 805 companies are small companies, 387 are medium companies. We make sure that when we do our investigations, we focus on all the companies that are there so that our investigations are balanced. That slide explains that when we're doing our investigations, we do investigations to all the companies that are there so that we can have dockets that cut across. Firearms inquiries processed. The committee must be made aware of the fact that the mandate of firearms in the country still resides with SAPS. They are the ones that are responsible for the application of the firearms. They are the ones that know how many firearms are there in the country, how many firearms are lost, how many ammunitions are there. But what happens regarding the firearms that are within the industry when the applications by the companies, they write to us and check whether the company that has applied is in good standing. So we give our inputs and indicate whether they can allow that company to have or to possess firearms. So the applications that we made to us, requesting for us to give inputs whether the firearms can be granted, we gave them the recommendations and others were not recommended. One will ask with the allegations of qualification of firearms and the flow of firearms that are there in the industry. How come this financial year there were few applications of firearms? And the answer is we are so vocal to the industry about who must possess a firearm. We go out on awareness campaigns and tell them that the fact that you are owning a security company does not automatically mean that you must own the firearm. So now the companies understand that you don't just apply for a firearm. If, for an example, you are guiding a dumping site, you don't have to own a firearm. As a result, not all the companies now are applying for firearms. Moving along to the next slide, in proper conduct prosecution, we see that there is a drop as well in the number of prosecutions that we are doing. At Sira, we've got the quasi judicial process, where we've got our own in-house prosecution. Is it dropping down? On a slide that talks to improper conduct prosecution, check it. If you see there, one will ask why the prosecution as well is reducing. And the answer is there is change in behavior. People now can see that the regulator is there. The regulator is vocal, the regulator is having sharp teeth, the regulator is talking, the regulator is doing what it's supposed to be doing. And people know now that they are fined and people are disciplined and people are doing what is expected of them in terms of the constitution and in terms of all the relevant pieces of legislation. And if you check what is indicated in the slide, say all the companies and 99% of the individuals are utilizing alternative dispute resolution. cases that have been finalized out of court settlement are 970, and cases that are settled during inquiry are 488, which means that no one wants to go through a lengthy period, more especially if they know that they are on the wrong side of the law. And we appreciate that because they understand that what they are doing is wrong. As the regulator, what we are advocating and what we are preaching is compliance, compliance, compliance. As long as we have picked that there's something wrong that the person has done and the person shows remorse, then we appreciate when the person complies.
Thank you, Chair. We'll move over to the registration slides. On the registration slide, Chairperson, I think earlier on we forgot to apologize on behalf of the Chief Operations Officer. This is his portfolio. He's not well. He's just undergoing some medical attention. Chairperson, on the registration side, I've mentioned earlier that we, if you look at the comparison that we've put in front of you, in front of the committee, we compared in 2017, 2018, 2019. So this year, we are saying that there is a slight increase in the number of female officers that entered. So these numbers, if you look at the black part of the presentation, represent the total number of security officers that we have. And the second part, which is the darker one, also represent the number of. So in terms of the number of male, you will see it's 1,600,027. And in terms of the female, it's almost 700,000. That's what it means. If you're looking at the bottom left, that's the slide that we could 2018-2019. On the right hand side is the increase in the number of security officers. The female is 2.4. If you look in the bottom right, it's 117,000 female that were registered in the year under review. If we move to the next slide, we will be looking at the industry training. Chairperson, we have training providers that we accredit as the authority that conducts training almost for a number of, I think, good 8 years. Security service training providers, there was a moratorium on the accreditation of new security service providers. The reason for that moratorium was to allow the current pool of training providers to move on to the NQF level training, which is actually subsidiary, and also to introduce a lot of skills plans, training, and so on. So that process was completed. We started then uplifting the moratorium. We are now registering new service providers. We've managed to register 122 in the current financial year, more service providers than we had before. The aim was to have about 200 registered in that year. Unfortunately, because of the accreditation of the training material that took long, the procurement of such training material, we could not achieve that number. However, I think in terms of the training course reports that we've captured that year, there was a slight increase in terms compared to the previous year. If we go on to the research, area, we have completed quite a number of research documents. Chairperson, we went into labour broking, independent contractors, and cooperatives. This is quite one of the areas that are controversial in our industry, especially the independent contractors, as well as we're seeing also a trend where security companies are registering more cooperatives in an effort to actually evade the payment of minimum wages to security officers. We've also looked into guarding the sector. We have a comprehensive report that we've published on the guarding. It's actually a bigger industry than we thought. We've looked as well as to the use of security equipment, which was the result of us having to publish, Chairperson, if you recall, the last time we were here before the committee, we were to present the regulations on the firearms, the use of firearms. This is, amongst others, the research that assisted us to come to those regulations. The security in schools, in particular, we focused in Gauteng. That was the purpose of unpacking and understanding what is the nature of security, who provides security in schools and so on, how is it funded and so on. So that research is also available. I think we've done some good work on the report in schools. We are meeting with our stakeholders to ensure that they get to consume the recommendations that we've made in terms of that report. We've also looked into institutions of higher learning. We've also noticed some quite a few recommendations in terms of the security in institutions of higher learning. What we've recommended, amongst others, in that research is that there should be a uniform approach in terms of the procurement of security services in higher learning. We've also conducted a few consumer surveys. Chairperson, I think most of them focus on car guarding as well as cooperatives and the use of labor parking. Quite some interesting findings as well for how consumers look at the industry from that perspective. All of this research, Chairperson, I think we do have them on our website for consumption, just the summary. If we move over to governance, Chairperson, there isn't so much changes. We still have a council of four. One is in the current financial year. There's still one to be appointed. We've also, in the same year, appointed some committees of council. I think from a combined assurance point of view, there's been some good work that has been done, Chairperson. The result of thereof is the clean audit that we've achieved. Also, we have identified a number of key controls that needs to be looked at. I will move over to a slide that gives the breakdown of the human capital. Chairperson, there's quite a number of reports we put in the annual report, but we've selected this slide. We will take questions on the rest of the slides that we've put in the annual report. In terms of that, of important to note, Chairperson, is not the vacancy rate that we have, which is quite an acceptable one if we're sitting at 1%. The number of employees is 288, approved positions is 308, and the total number that we had in the current financial year is 305. So we have only 3 vacancies, which makes about 1%. I will hand over to the CFO to take us through the summary of the financial highlights. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you, Chair. I'll start on slide number 28. Slide number 28, as the director indicated on the key highlights, we have received a team audit. And also in terms of the audit report, we have material impairments. And maybe just to elaborate more, we have an annual fee model where we, in terms of graph, we are supposed to write off or declare debtors irrecoverable. This is where we were not able to collect due to the model that we have deployed. So, but if you look at it, it has decreased from the previous year, because when we were tabling or when we reviewed the annual fee model, we had some strategies to support the service provider to pay. We had part payment, 6 months payment, a lot of things to allow them to pay in small portions. So those are some of the things that assisted us to ensure that our provision for impairment is going down. And then also what we are trying to do there, we're saying that the model is not supporting that. That's why we have that. If you look at entities that collect, they always have material impairment as an emphasis in the AG report. And then because we have this model that we have realize that it's not, it's always giving us problem to collect as much as we can. We have developed a going concern turnaround strategy to ensure that we stay within the budget and we don't fall in the deficit as previous year. And then and we also deployed debt collectors to assist us. The debt collectors are appointed on a fee model. When they collect, they get paid a percentage of collection, so we don't pay them if they're not collecting. The next one issue that was emphasized by the AG is significant uncertainties in terms of our contingent liability. This is where there is a case leveled against CIRA, and then they want to assess whether there is financial implication. So they always raise it as a flag so that we look into it. But the legal department is on it and making sure that the cases are assessed properly and whether the cases can be won by another person or it's not a winnable case. And then when we go to deeper in our financial highlights, the slide is summarizing the three slides that are following. Last financial year, we had a deficit. And the deficit is assessed based on the ability for the organization to fund its liabilities. So what we did, we developed a turnaround strategy, and it looked like the turnaround strategy worked. So if you look at the analysis between the 2 years, we have significant increase in total revenue, and also the total expenditure increased. Here, when we look at the year, the total revenue is more by 19% and expenditure is less by 12% when you compare it. So we have a buffer of 5%. And then also we have a surplus of 15. However, because last financial year we closed with a minus 12, so we have to save it the other one before we can report accumulated surplus for the year. So, but I think when you look at where we're coming from, the turnaround strategy worked very well. And also when you look at the cash and cash equivalent, it's money that was in the bank at the financial year. Last year when we closed, when I say last year, I mean in the last financial year, it was 6.7, but it doubled this financial year. So, but we'll keep on doing the same thing until we move out of the annual fee model. And then when I started, I spoke about the provision for bad debt. This, it went down. That's very good. Yes, we marked it red, but if you look at it, it's supposed to go down. So we shouldn't have more bad debt. So when you look at the rate, it's not something bad. So maybe the highlights were summarizing the three slides, but I just want to just give we on the financial position. This is the statement where we assess the position of the organization. If you look at it, we have significantly increased our current assets, has increased as indicated in the first the highlights. And then I'll move to the next one, maybe just to show you the revenue. The first part on the top part is the key revenue items that we are utilizing to generate our operational budget. And you can see that we're relying more on annual fees, and they've increased by 8%, and the total revenue also increased by 19%. And for us to be able to move out of saying that the model is adequate, there's a formula that we use. It's JAWS. The JAWS JAWS. The JAWS assess the trends that your revenue and operational expenditure is growing at. So when you look at this current financial year, the JAWS looks good. But when you compare the trend over the years, you can see that our JAWS is not looking good. So, but we should be able to, our JAWS this year, we are at positive 5, because the growth of the expenditure and the growth of the revenue is higher than the expenditure. But over the years, when you analyze our JAWS, it's not, that's why it's catching up now. So, but those are some of the things that I wanted to highlight. And then the next one is cash flow. The cash flow is the statement that indicates the in and out of the organization. We also did very well there. That's where you see that your cash and cash in equivalents and all those things that happen in the current financial year. And one another thing that we said as a management and the council that we should have strategies to ensure that the clean audit stays for years. So we looked at key things that we should do to ensure that the clean audit stays for a longer period or forever if we are too ambitious. But we said one of the key things that we should do is to review our models so that we don't go into a deficit, because we would never get an organization that has a clean audit with a deficit. So we say we must introduce a correct model to ensure that we stay solvent. So we say the introduction of Levies Act will assist that. The next one, we say we want to maintain the proper record keeping of all the transaction of CISA. If you know, CISA has a lot of transactions. We apply, the service provider, the security officer, it's paper and paper and paper. And most of the organization, they fall into a trap of not producing adequate document to the AG when they're audited, or not even supporting their transaction. So we say we want to maintain and improve on what we have to ensure that we are able to provide adequate documentation to the auditors and the public at large when they require us to vouch for the transaction that we have committed or we have transacted. The next one is to maintain controls of daily and monthly processing of journals, not even journals only, of payments, of any transaction that we do. The most common finding that affects us is when you have done a transaction and you find you are not even reporting it in the correct month, or you have not captured it correctly on that. So we say the reconciliation of all those journals, of all those transactions, is done on monthly basis so that we are able to vouch for the transaction in the correct time. And then we want to say, the other one we say monthly, quarterly reporting to all the structures to ensure that the combined assurance that we stated earlier is supported by all the reports, both financial and performance information reports. So we have the operational structures, we have council structures, we have council itself, that including the portfolio committee, that the report should be credible and the data should be, we must also improve the integrity of the data that we are providing to all those oversight structures. The next one is document management. Because we have those transactions, we need to deploy a system where documents are easily retrievable and can be easy, because when you take time to report to the AG and other structures, you incur expenditure. So we want to ensure that we can easily retrieve the documents and support the transaction that has occurred. And then we also have holistic, like it's a big compliance checklist monitor, where we took all the the top 10 acts that we think they are influencing our performance. So we have a big compliance checklist where we check ourselves in terms of compliance, and that compliance checklist is looked at by EXCO Council and Council and its subcommittee to ensure that we improve on compliance. And the last one that I want to highlight is a performance management system. Here is where we say that all the things that we do in terms of strategy and annual performance plan, in terms of performance management, we as executives and the CEO, we take accountability. If you look at our performance management contract, it has these key performance areas that are monitored on a regular basis and we are evaluated on by the council and the director. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair. That would be a summary. We hope that we did not summarize the annual report too much to the disadvantage of members. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there any addition? You can switch off then. Thanks. Honourable Member, I think we can now do the questions. Look at the Honourable Council, Honourable Dr. Branch, Honourable, or I'll go from
Thank you, Chairperson. I think first we must appreciate that this agenda issue has been sorted out. Thank you very much, Council Chair. But one thing, Chair, one thing that we must appreciate from Prisa, every time they come and do their presentation, they pitch up every time, which is something that is very good. One of the things that one must appreciate is the issue of clean audit. It's something that is very good. After 18 years, we have received the clean audit. I know in the past 7 years, we have received an unqualified audit, which is very good. I think this is one thing that most of us need to learn, that our government does not need anything that is not clean audit. But the clean audit, as we are moving forward. I think also, on the issue of your revenue, it's very impressive, CFO, how you presented your strategy, how to increase the revenue. Perhaps in your expenditure, I see that one of your key performance that was not met, which is on your staff, cost. I think that there was a training academy that was supposed to be done internally. Perhaps if we can fast-track that so that at least in terms of our expenditure to manage that. One must also highlight the issue of your turnaround time, which is about 52 days. Very impressive. You are saying that you have achieved 160 public awarenesses. You did not mention how much your target was. I'm interested to know about that. Also, Chair, I would also agree in terms of the review of the Levies Act, and for it to be reviewed and amended. I see that also Minister is supporting that in the annual report, so to improve the internal control. But just in general, the performance is very good. I see also that you have accepted, you've been accepted in the National International Association of Security Association, which is good. So for me, Chair, I'm very much impressed with that. Well, thank you very much.
Chairperson, thank you. I also want to start by thanking our people here for the presentation. And I want to congratulate them on the clean audit and the improved achievement. I think that is the way to go. Chairperson, then starting with my questions, and that was also covered briefly by my colleague just before me, but I just want to highlight it again. One of the things that has not been achieved is the establishment of the training academy, and I just want to get some more clarity on that, you know, in terms of maybe, you know, the time frame or your target date for that. Chairperson, I'm also very happy to learn about the compliance visits that they are doing, you know, and apparently they are very effective in doing that. But my question is then, you know, when people when they get permission to start such, you know, to open such a business, and that is just a question, are we strict enough to ensure that they, before, you know, that is allowed, that minimum requirements are met? Because apparently there's quite a need to, you know, to do compliance inspections. But, you know, compliance before a person gets allowed to start such a business, maybe I'm just asking, don't you think we should try to step that up a bit. Chairperson, then my mention was also made about the power to arrest. I think that is a good deterrent. I just want to get some indication on the type of you know, contraventions or crimes that people permitted what they did, you know, for the arrests. That is the first part of this question. And then secondly, the people affecting the arrests, what training do they have? And I'm thinking specifically about, you know, the Criminal Procedures Act, and then obviously the human rights in terms of the Constitution. I just want to get clarity on that, whether people that, you know, is entrusted or are entrusted to do arrests, that they are properly trained within the prescripts of our legislation, the law, South African law. Chairperson, then, in terms on the government's governance slide, you know, and once again emphasis was placed on training and stuff like that. One area that I am, what I want clarity about, you know, car guarding. And you know, people especially in wherever you go nowadays, if you stop at 10 different places, there are 2 or 3 or 10 or 15 at every place where you stop. You know, sometimes, and you know, yes, people are suffering. We have huge unemployment rate in this country, and people are trying to survive. I really understand that. But, you know, sometimes it gets to, I would always say, almost say harassment. And, you know, are we happy that this is properly controlled, or is it just people outside the system, or what is the position? And my main concern regarding this is that quite often you find and you hear that even the so-called car guards, you know, they, you know, break windows and stuff like that to take things out of the windows. Do we have relevant training for that? And obviously then the screening of security companies that venture into, you know, the security at schools. Are people properly trained, the guards, you know, to do security work at schools? And what is that that they're supposed to be doing, or what is the standard that they need to comply with? Chairperson, I'm just about done. Okay, we don't have our deputy minister today here, and I think it's important that we get some indication about the appointment of the new council. And I don't know whether we'll be able to get it here today, and if not, that is something that we'll have to get from somewhere else. They also indicated, you know, the recovery from the debt. Apparently there's an improvement between the relationship with, you know, the state attorney, and maybe we can just get clarity about that. What did you do? Was it the Tea Party, on a lighter note? Or how did you manage to bring that about? Which is good. It's really good. Chairperson, and then I'm on my last slide here. The guarantee fund. Is it realistic to implement that based on the Levies Act? You know, that is there still, you know, something lacking at the moment. So I just want to hear something about that. And then the learning material at the academy. Who's dealing with that, and are we happy? Do we have, are we on track there? What is the position? How many small security companies do we have in operation? Because I think that is something that we need to encourage as far as possible, you know, to that is maybe one area where businesses can, you know, where we can get new business people. Chairperson, and then lastly, very last question. Do we have, or are some of our security people in the security industry, are they also reservists at the police, or don't we have that? Because really, you know, it's quite a force multiplier in our fight against crime, and I was just wondering whether that is not something that we should pursue. Thank you, Chairperson.
You're welcome. Can I now, before I go to Honourable Shembeni, and then go to Honourable Lagos?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me also start by congratulating ACC in obtaining the clean audit. Hope you will always keep up the standards. Chairperson, my question is based on the audit outcome. On page 26, they said the action plan to address abandoning faults. I thought maybe this report will also include that action plan and then with the measures to monitor the implementation on the action plan so that we always keep up the standard and monitor whatever progress we have been done in terms of dealing with these audit findings. The second question is on the performance, Chairperson. I just want to find out from you that given the current situation of economic challenges that we are having in the country, as you know that we are in the recession. I just want to know, because we all know that we still have those small security companies that are still struggling to get a contract. And there are still debts owed to you by those contracts. So what measures do you have in place? Because it's a zero challenge on your side in making sure that you collect revenue. So what measures do you have in place to make sure that you deal with the current situation? The last question will be on the accreditation process. You know that there's still challenges on the accreditation. So I want to check with you that what measures do you have in place to make sure that the accreditation process becomes so efficient for that person. Thank you.
Come, can I go now? Come back to Honourable Shembeni and go down. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I would like to congratulate first Sierra for the clean audit. Secondly, all what I have here is based on the accreditation and the registering of the security officers. Because we are experiencing a problem whereby you find out that security officers in some areas are using other people's accreditation to be enlisted. I don't know how does this happen. Or it's because of the corruption in companies. Or what? I think that Sierra must look at this one because there are a number of complaints based on complaints in this issue of registration and accreditation. Number two, I want to find out what security related causes draw the most interest, if they are. think I'll end up there. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member.
Thank you very much, Chair, and I would also like to congratulate the professional manner that you presented your matter here. I've just got two questions on governance, the issues that of governance. I hear you say that there is an issue on legal brokering, independent contracts, and so on, that more information is on your website. I'd like us just to sensitize us a bit, say a few things in terms of the research that you've done and all that, even before you could go to your website. Then the other matter is on the moratorium that has been applicable on 122 service providers. Whenever the people have completed their training from those respective companies or service providers, is there anything that resembles that you have endorsed those companies to perform those trainings in terms of your certification? Right. I think that's about all. Now the last one is I see here you say 733 more security businesses were inspected, which was achieved through joint operations with other state law enforcement agencies. Now I'd like to just name a few of those state law enforcement agencies that assisted you. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable
Members.
Any addition? Before we go there, thank you, members. I want to start by congratulating the CIRA team. I call it the team because when you are doing well, it means that you are a team on a clean audit and qualified opinion, audit opinion. And then on the questions, I want to actually get a clarity. I know one of the things will be like most companies, everything is happening in housing, KZN, and Western Cape. But still, even if that is the case, but you find that housing is leading with the security companies, as you also explained. But the question will also be, how many are South Africans, how many are foreign nationals? Then, on the other part is that you explained it so well about the employment equity, and one is impressed that you are getting somewhere, but I have a problem of you are using percentages by 5.45 increase on women, so I want to know the number. I always say that when you put a percentage, put a number next to it, because every day we learn on those things, the percentages are sometimes not good for everybody. Then you need to also indicate to us that the issue of disability, what is your number there and the percentage, and what is the target that you are looking at, because we need to look at those people also as doing something in the community. The public awareness, I think Honorable Fakun raised it, and now on the inspection. When you do the inspections, I think the last time I spoke about, do you really check even on where people are placed? And I spoke about the security personnel that I see, which I don't, I think today CEO will be telling me which company that on R21, that are actually doing the guide. I think they are looking after the middle part of it on the cables and all that. But that stretch from where I come from, Swan, to OR, I have never seen any toilet. And the question is, what's going on in there? And I'm still worried. I really was. In fact, we might have forgotten because I said maybe you need to update on this. And I feel even now there's nothing. And that goes to the inspection into companies that are working there.
The securities of a mall which a member honorable the Blanche raised it. We all know they are mostly from foreign nations. And want to know why will it be like that when we also have our own people that can also do the work. But there's also exploitation in that. Some of them, if you ask them, they'll tell you that per day so and so takes so much from me. They only buy for me uniform. And but they are taking more than a person is getting today. And I think we still need to start monitoring. And when we start building a better South Africa, we must start by not exploiting anyone. It doesn't matter whether they are foreign nationals or what. Exploitation is the wrong thing. We check on why somebody will come on Friday. If you've been to the mall, you see this person coming with a car. They are all taking out money to give this person for a week. When you ask this for what, it's for uniform. They are the only ones that negotiate with the security and with actually the malls. Why it should be like that? You need to have a real operation happening there. And on the industry training highlights, I think I will also go on the issue of the training being very important. But the questions on that would be, you should tell us about, are there any accreditations, the NQF requirements, and then also the success on the training, and what are other interests, interesting actually training courses that interest the security companies that will make us to understand. And then it would be also nice that we say we maybe can share. You can share with us the security, the research that you have done. I think we have a number of research that has been done. And one that is also interesting is also on the school security. All from IPIT, civilian oversight, even the police, all of them presented about the school safety. But you are not all coming to one understanding. And you are also coming up with a new thing to say, maybe private security will work. And I think one will say, maybe it will be better than the discrepancies that we had yesterday on our branch of the police saying that they have identified 1,300 schools. And it means that each school is expected to have one police officer. Then yesterday, am I right? Then it was a presentation of IPIT. They actually came with another issue, that what actually was supposed to happen is not happening. And I said to them, are you saying that the police are not giving the honest actually account? And they couldn't answer on that. And then the day before, it was civilian oversight. They also raised an issue on that. They are also having another issue of going their way. But none of them spoke about the research. I don't know if I'm correct. But I also heard about the plans of the school safety protocols. If maybe they wanted to say that we have research on school safety protocols is something else. But it also says that they, I know that the Deputy Minister gave an apology and somebody's going to be leading in this. You need to have your own seminar or your own summit, doesn't matter how you call it, with the schools, with the school governing bodies, with the police, all of you to can come to the party because it's a fact. At schools, we still have a lot of cases of children dying and all that. And look at, explore the issue of saying the private securities can be looked at that, because if you take 1,300 police officers, you know, who is remaining when we actually have a problem of policing itself? Then it's something that you can throw in, and we really appreciate your input into that. But the research document will be able to assist us into coming to that light. And maybe you should also indicate to us, I remember there's a before I go to the slide, I noticed something also on the financial report. I think it's on your council How long is your council? How long is the term of the council? Because I realize that there's somebody who's been in the council from 2013 and then others in 2017. And your question will be why there was no continuity with others. And then just to get it right, I don't know how long is your council. I can know that there's no, the 18 chairs here, yes, but one would actually be interested in checking that. I think it's a 100 and something, I've seen it also on that. And then on the, you're doing well in terms of the audit, and you're doing well in terms of your finances. One would be worried to say that the leases of all your companies, all of your entities where they are, or offices, they are going to expire in 2021. And what are your plans? Are you planning to have your own building? Just, you know, think about it. Because when you leave, you are paying more. But if you plan on saying that we'll have our own building next time, we'll be looking on the logistics like this. Because 2021 is 2 years from now. Actually, we don't even say 2 years, it's 18 months from now. So you'll be running to say that you don't have offices or all that. As you're doing well, think about it. Or one day, when somebody wakes up to say, I don't think Sierra I need it in our buildings anymore, and you are comfortable, think about the good work that you're doing and say that, what are you going to do? And I didn't hear you talking about the good work you are doing, the companies that actually are registering as security companies. Where is your social responsibility with them? What are you doing to the communities in return? Are you having any social responsibility? If there is any, maybe you can explain to us what it is that you are doing so that we can know that you are assisting our communities somewhere. Must comment that you've got a very beautiful document that we were criticizing others on documents. I want to go to the audit. You know, I want to appreciate our young woman here with how you will explain about all the key financial highlights, the audit opinion and all that. But you'll notice that even the AG will have statements. And one would wish that your document, it doesn't matter if it's a slide or what, it becomes a public document. But I'm sure you also want to have a legacy of saying that she was there and she used to do things this way. And I even said to my colleagues that people would like it or not, but will appreciate later that I'm coming from a background. I might be have been in Kamlamin for a very long time from Gauteng to here, but I remain an educator and I wish it helps you. When you have a financial highlight like this, you explain it so well. Under that, just have your statement and say that I recommend that in future, this will be things that will keep us going. You said it right to say, for us to keep on having the audit opinion, we should say this way. We are saying it now. It might not be in any other document. And we don't know life that will be sitting after your chair, having gone to somewhere. So we must always, our presentations, package them with messages. The good work that you are doing as a team, try to actually work on them. The commitment of the improved internal audit, I must be honest, I really like how you have done it. It actually explains, you know, very well, and that's why I was thinking that we need to head on the need of the whole thing. And then on the, I think, oh, it's the recommendations. I think I'm happy about it. If there's anything that maybe I didn't raise, oh no, I want to also check on the, I think it was the bill, the CIRA bill. Remember last time you presented the regulations? So we should know about the CIRA bill and also know about your foreign actually entities and the borders and all that from the other side. How many or percentage of people that are working there? Because remember, there's still an outcry that you cannot have CIRA having more foreign people in each as if this has done the South Africans. So you should look at that. Thank you very much. I think you'll be, is there any addition before the answer? We can do that. But what we'll do is that when one of you is actually answering on a question. If a member wants a clarity on that, we allow it immediately so that we don't hang into matter. We'll allow that. I think it has been working for us very well. Over to you, Sipho.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would have asked my colleagues to assist with some of the answers. Chairperson, just on a few of the answers. The first one was the what was the target on the public awareness? The target was 140. We achieved 160 public awareness. And the training academy, how far we are? I think the question was also answered. Asked regarding the process of the accreditation. And we need to take the two questions together. We're not far away. Actually, the reason we didn't achieve was a technical reason, because everything was put in place. The team just got the priorities. I don't know whether to say ups and downs, because sometimes you ought to have presented the material first. So which was the requirement that we had the material, but it was not presented with the application. That's why the application was rejected. Unfortunately, for us to go back and present it, it was quite very short towards the end of the financial year, we wouldn't have achieved that. But the process is going ahead. So we should be having an academy of our own very soon in order to improve. And the reason for that, we could have actually deployed it much earlier. The reason for that is that we wanted to align the training so that it has some NQF level recognition as well. So you just don't just train your staff members and when they go out there, they've got nothing to prove that the worst training that was actually aligned. There was a question about the car guard and whether we are quite happy. I will leave the questions regarding the others to the advocate. Whether we're happy with the kind of regulation of car guards, we're not happy at all, Chairperson. The reason why we actually even conducted the research was to understand the nature of that environment. There's quite a lot of exploitation that's taking place in that environment. I think the data that we have out of the research is assisting us to better regulate that part. We will definitely be introducing a review of regulations in the nearer future to strengthen regulation on the part of car guards, and also perhaps to mention that we will also be engaging a lot of stakeholders, mainly the mall management, property management. Those are the people that are in the center of it. In terms of the training of car guards themselves, the training that they require is the guarding training. So it's guarding and patrolling, so it's your normal E to TC grade, which actually outlines guarding, monitoring, access control, and so on. So that's the training that they require, but the training can also be improved. The other aspect that is attached to car guard is the use of foreign nationals. The reality is we do not have enough numbers of inspectors to ensure that everyone is actually checked out there. But the challenge we also found in terms of regulating that aspect is that we find ourselves having to arrest ordinary people, some of which did not even know that it is against the law to practice as a security officer once you're not registered. So we changed the strategy in the past, and then we targeted the individuals that actually have an arrangement with mall management or property management, and that are deploying people like that. We also have recognized that in some areas there has been very positive results out of the deployment of car guards themselves, because they actually help to detect crime, in particular, you're breaking into vehicles and so on. Some of them, which are actually rogue individuals, would then damage that reputation of the good ones. So very soon, Chair, we will introduce some strict regulation in terms of that. Maybe let me allow my colleagues to.
Maybe before you step out of it, on your academy coming, and which is something that will be asking a lot. Why, when the civilian oversight
when they were talking about looking at courses. Am I right? For CPS and CFF. And why didn't you actually raise your hand also? Because they didn't have partners. They didn't have people that actually were coming on board to say that you can be there, because you look far ahead and you seem to be understanding, because there was a criticism that VET wanted people with matric, and the issue here was you don't need a security personnel to have that when a person is actually good in the work. They can be trained, as you're saying. I think those were arguments, and you can think that that would be welcomed, but also the question would be, can you also train, you know, because this says the same, they don't need to go somewhere. Can you take CPS for training? Because they are good for the communities, both of them, even the community safety forums, community policing forums, all of them. But I think the best training, don't you think it can be with yourself? Maybe something that you need to assist us to can understand this, because we're still, you know, going to be engaging into this matter, and it might assist us a lot into that. Maybe think about it, but just tell us on what we can do. And then the neighbor would watch. Also, there should be a research that should be being having maybe from any other sector to say, why would you have a CPS, have a community safety forum that are under the municipalities, the CPS mostly are in the provinces, and then you have the neighborhood watch that are in local residents, and then you look at the example in Cape Town where the CPS and the neighborhood watch are in loggerheads and all that. So those are challenges, and because CIRA is overseeing a number of important security issues and try to assist us in that. We might not be able to answer it now, but we are throwing that, and I'm sure my colleagues will add on that as they go to the next year. Or any member who want to add that, since Member Tarugan Chalon is also part of your issue.
We did raise it, as you rightfully indicated, and yes, maybe they can play a role, but that is something I think that will have to be negotiated with the police itself, because obviously the police is responsible for the CPFs, and yes, you know, so there are so many role players, but you did allude to that already, but yeah, that is something that we need urgent attention and intervention. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Chair, maybe let me just give a clarity on where we come in with regard to the community patrols and CPF and so on. I think quite correctly stated by the member, this is the role of the police. However, just a striking difference from our regulatory point of view. We are concerned with those who are in security for commercial purposes. So if you look at our definition of a security officer or security business, it's those that are doing it for commercial purposes. So what it means is that those who are doing it not for commercial purposes, they will be outside our regulation. However, we do play a part in assisting from time to time. I think there was a question about what are we doing for communities. For instance, recently we were in Zanin, where we helped to provide the security officers there, the community patrols there, with reflective jackets, with radios, with shoes, with batons, with torches, and so on. And all of that donated by private security companies. So we are working in tandem with them. However, in terms of training, we will be looking at what sort of training we can agree on, which will assist community patrols as well as neighborhood watch to better understand what the limitations of the law are in terms of them having to do their work, because most of the clashes that come out is the issue of understanding what law is. For instance, to give you an example, we've had people coming to complain about community patrols people stopping them and searching. I mean, are they supposed to be doing that? So those type of issues which can be viewed as harassment, those are the issues that we would like to actually train them on. But we will look into that in the future. Thank you very much.
Can I also maybe try to link that question of what is the role of the good for the community vis-a-vis the issue of for commercial goods? I think it's related to also the issues of security at schools. Because when you listen to MECs in the provinces who are responsible for education, the way they look at how to provide security for schools, they look like it's an issue that the community must be involved with. For instance, they go out and recruit maybe the retired Mr. Mubane, who is expected to the community to be the one who is responsible for the security of the schools. And it does cause some challenges, and challenges are many. And one of them is that schools currently, there's a lot of investment, as an example, in Gauteng, if you look at what they've done in few schools. They invest a lot of equipment, which costs millions and millions of francs. And in an era that we're in, where we've got such huge inequalities, you can't be expecting that there are people who are out there unemployed, some of them have fallen to traps of criminality, when they do know that in their school is the retired Mr. Mubane who's watching it, and there are millions and millions of equipment, they'll just hold their arms, you know, they'll attack it. And this has happened many times, we've seen schools being attacked, people who are driving being killed in Tamaste recently happened, and equipment getting lost. So definitely there's a need of rethinking the strategy around the issue of security in the schools. Private schools are safer because they are able to budget for that. But we want to change in our engagement that we have with the department that probably needs to start now putting budget aside for because a lot of equipment is going there. But the research that we have done addresses a number of issues. One of the issues we found in Gauteng is when they do get volunteers to go to school, but these people are not vested. Some of them have history of being pedophiles, with children there in the school. And definitely something needs to happen because we are very clear in our rules in terms of who should be a person, and you need to more or less make sure that you have certain criteria in terms of exposing children to guards in school.
I can see the hand of Honorable Blanche. Maybe before you answer on that, have you ever had a meeting with the civilian oversight onto the issue that your research outcome onto that? Before, maybe let us pack it as a question and then go to Member Hebron, you can answer both.
Chairperson, I also asked, and I know they are still busy answering, so maybe somebody is still coming there. But I think maybe this is the opportune time now to also to respond to my question that I asked. You know, more and more so, you know, private security is also being appointed to do, you know, to do safety work while at schools as well. And my concern is, the question that I asked, you know, I think you would need specific training and very special training for schools, because we had instances in the past where even security guards, and I'm not saying it's part of your membership people, you know, but you know, where they committed crimes against school children. And I want, you know, to make sure that we take note of that and that we ensure that we create a curriculum or whatever that will equip security officers to do the right thing there, and that we ensure that the right people are going to be deployed there, you know, with the necessary skills. I was just wondering whether they would also like to touch on that while we are there. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think thank you very much for the brief on the school safety schools. Part of our research actually touched on that, on the training of specific training of people that are actually guarding children at school. We have not yet outlined the specific training as yet, but it's something that we're looking into the future. We will certainly be looking. changing the regulations to ensure that people apply for specific, you know, let me just give an example. We, when you apply for registration at the moment, you have, you can work in every sector of the industry. So in the future, we'll be restricting to certain sectors. I think one of the important things that we'll be looking at, if you look at the requirements of registration, one of them is that you must be of a sound mind, or you must be fit and proper. So we've said we would, through the research, we are going to come up with a criteria what a fit and proper person is in a specific sector of the security industry, to ensure that, for instance, we don't end up with pedophiles who are guarding children in school. For example, of what we've seen in Soweto with the, you know, in one of the schools there. So we have actually dealt with that matter, and we have prosecuted people that were responsible for withdrawing that old person there. Chairperson, I think that would be all, but we will be looking into all the issues that were raised.
Chairperson, sorry, I don't, but just a little thing, I don't want to, you know, keep enticing them on that. Maybe, you know, just a hint or, you know, just some proposal. You know, like in nursing, you get a person that is, you know, just trained as the basic training as a nurse. And then they specialize on top of that, you know, for different, you know, nursing environments, if you like. Or like in piloting, you have a normal pilot license and then you get an additional one, blah, blah, blah. Maybe we need to build on that. That is, thank you.
Very much. I think it's a very good feedback for building the academy.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Chairperson. I'll deal with the law enforcement questions, and I think a lot are coming from Honorable Chair Punch. One of them was about power to arrest and what skills are the inspectors having to do such a hectic power. The inspectors that we are having at CIRA, a lot of them are coming from SAPS. And those that are not coming from SAPS, we ensure that they undergo all the trainings that are necessary. And what we do, when we go for inspections, when we know that they are going to be arrested, we make sure that we roll in SAPS. We don't have transportation facilities. So when we arrest, we make sure that there's always subs available with vehicles for transportation. The second question was about compliance visits that we do, which are working very well. Before we do the compliance inspections, we double check which companies are new in the market. Those companies, before they get to the market, they get registered. There are requirements that are there to be met. We assist from the registration stage and make sure that all the requirements are met. But it just doesn't end there. As soon as they start operating, law enforcement goes there to ensure that there's compliance so that they can move with the times. We make sure that all the relevant prescripts, regulations, and acts are complied with. So we assist them to make sure that they are not on the wrong side. That is why these companies are appreciating what you are doing and call us and you go there and educate them. There was another question that was asked about the 733 inspections which stakeholders are utilizing. We are utilizing the Department of Labor because we want to get rid of exploitation that is out there. We are also utilizing Home Affairs so that we can make sure that we get rid of the foreigners that are here illegally so. We are also utilizing SAPS because we are using their services when we are doing firearm inspection. The chairperson requested us to look into the R21 security company, and we are undertaking, chairperson, that in 2 weeks' time the report will be on your table. We will call you and do the and give you the feedback. We'll start today investigating this company.
Can I add also the ones that are looking at the transformer of Telkom? I've seen them where they are also. They are not having the transformer
of Telkom. Okay, thank you, Chair. There was another question that was asked about contraventions. Which contraventions are we arresting for? there are companies that are not registered. When we get to know about those companies that are trading but are not registered, we open criminal cases and we do follow up with SAPs as well. There are those individuals that are not linked and or are not registered with CIRA. We open criminal cases against those companies. Our act indicates the contravention, and we open cases against such individuals. You find out that those contraventions, as much as some of them are listed in our act, they are not charges in terms of what SAPs can open case for. So what we do, we make it our responsibility to go to SAPs and ask SAPs to load those charges in their system. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair. Can I just assist with the latest on the appointment of the new council? Chair, the minister has approved the adverts, and I'm sure it will be out next week for publication of the new council. Whilst I'm also on the platform, let me also assist with the...
Before you go there, the extended question was the, how long is the chair?
I was getting to that part of the question. The term of council members is 3 years. However, a council member can be appointed, the term can be extended twice, not more than twice. So basically it means that the chair, a member of a council can serve up to 9 years from the date of the initial appointment. Yes, but over the years, there has been an overlap. Once the new council come in, there will always remain one person and the rest will be new and so on and so on. So there's never been an era where all the council members were replaced at the same time, just for continuity purposes. The aspect about the guarantee fund, I think the question was whether the implementation is realistic. Chairperson, you will recall that we have actually commissioned a firm of actuaries to assist us to put together a concept document. We have achieved that concept. In fact, as early as last night, we were receiving a briefing on how far they are in terms of the concept document. It's quite a very complicated environment, Chair. There's a lot of choices and alternatives that we have to be looking into. From where we're sitting, I think we will be saying to the Council, perhaps we can look at the best possible model to implement the guarantee fund. And I'll give you an example. We either have to establish it ourselves or we can partner with the existing assurances or assurance providers out there in terms of, but we need to establish a guarantee fund because the law says so. The Act says we need to have a guarantee fund. So eventually it will be implemented. There was also a question about reservists, whether do we have any of security officers that are reservists. We do not have the data, Chair, but perhaps we can give a little bit of a legal position. If there were reservists that are part of the security industry, they will have to declare that to us. In terms of the CIRA Act, even ex-police officials, ex-army people, ex-intelligence people, when they register with us, they ought to present a certificate of clearance from their previous jobs. It doesn't matter how many years you have done it, as long as you are ex, then you have to say, I'm no longer in active service of the security agencies, and then can you register. So the same would be with the reservists, I can imagine, because there's a law that says that they are not allowed to be moonlighting both in active agencies as well as in the private security industry at the same time. The question about the how many small companies we have, and they are about 10,074 that are active, that are small in the sector, and they make about, I think, close to about 72 to 85% of those small. In fact, they are responsible for funding our regulation, because the bigger companies are quite small in number. And the majority is the small companies. And the small, we're referring to those that employ people between 0 to 5. And mostly would be those that most of them don't have active contracts. Those who employ people from 10 to 20 and so on. So those are the ones that are actually providing the majority of the annual fees that you see as the main revenue that comes to the authority. There was also a question linked to that. What are we doing given the economic environment that we have? Because smaller companies cannot afford. So Jefferson, consistently every year, we've come up with measures to ensure that we are able to assist smaller companies. What we've done last year, in fact, what the law says we can do in the beginning says, if you're a smaller company, you can't afford to pay us, you then call us and say, can we enter into an agreement in terms of how we should pay? So we realized that a lot of them were not even aware of the requirement. We went a step further and say, if you have employed people zero up to a certain number of people, you have up to 6 months to pay your annual fees. Others have gone up to 12 months. But for the bigger companies and so on, they must pay at once. So they are not really at the minimum amount that they have been paying per annum is about 6,000 rand for a smallest company. So if you break that down in 12 months, you're looking at about 300, between 350 to 600 per month that they have to be paying to us if they're not having active guards with a certain number of people employed. I think the smallest is okay. See if we can assist with that question.
Chair, there was a question raised about the number of female appointed. Instead of 5.45, it's 768,300,000. And maybe the just while I'm still here. The one for audit finding, why have we not included an action plan? I think we have put three measures to ensure that in terms of our audit opinion, we have two emphases. The first one is material impairment, and we detailed what we are going to do to ensure that we stay in line. And then we also have a matter relating to contingent liability, also detailed in terms of our action plan, what we're going to do. But in terms of the year end, we did not receive any material finding. We have received administrative findings. There were seven. We have developed an action plan that is monitored by the oversight structures and those administrative finding were raised in the interim financial statement, in interim audit report, not in the final one. However, we have developed an action plan that we report to all the oversight structures. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. The other question that we asked was on the accreditation. I'm not sure if I understood very well. The question was, what is the accreditation process? But it was not clear whether it was regard to individuals or was regard to training providers. Because we do accredit both. For instance, we accredit training providers to provide training. The requirement would be that they should have to show us that there is infrastructure that allows them. For instance, they do have classrooms, the number of classes, they have training material, they have facilitators or instructors that are also accredited by the authority to provide such training. But with regard to the accreditation of security officers, I think the question also was related to what have you done to deal with the abuses. Chairperson, the most common abuse with regard to training is that security officers would have to go and enlist themselves in the training environment, pay the money and so on, but you find that they don't actually go through the training. They actually buy the certificate. We are clamping down on such kind of tendencies within the industry, Chairperson. What we also plan to do, amongst other measures, is that we are taking over that part of the certification of the security officers. For instance, we will in the future allow training providers to train them. But in terms of the assessment, it will be done by CIRA online. and as well as, you know, physically. But that process is still underway. We are still procuring an online system that will assist us to do so. So we think that will be something of the past. We will also be the people that will be issuing the certificates, for instance, of accreditation of training, instead of the training provider itself issuing the certificate. So those will be issued by us. Some of the measures is that we will be digitizing the certificate so that there is no duplication of the certificates in the future. So we will also be looking at the curriculum to ensure that there is a way of accounting in terms of the weight of the training with regard to certain issues in the industry, so that we are appropriately addressing the measures that we, the issues that we have on the ground with regard to accreditation. I'm quite sure that Chairperson have addressed the issue of accreditation. I think the other question that we did not adequate the answer question is with regard to foreign national achievers. I think the question keeps coming up. In particular, maybe to address something on the issue of the use of foreign nationals. We do have in our law sections that allow us to employ foreign nationals as security officers. I think that's number one. And it's quite very clear in our law that a foreign national can only be allowed to be employed in the industry if that person has got permanent resident status in the country. Then he is allowed to be in the industry. The question that was linked to that is that how many do you have? We do not have the number at the moment, Chair, but we will be able to provide the number of those that were legally registered with SIRA at the moment, and it's not quite a lot. There's also other stringent requirements that they have to meet for us to be able to register foreign nationals. For instance, one of them is that they must provide us with criminal record clearance from their own country of origin. And the requirements with regard to people who have lived outside the country, I think 5 years before they tender the registration application for registration, they also have to be providing, even if they are South Africans. So if they lived in a foreign country for longer than 5 years before they submit an application, they will have to provide a criminal record clearance from that country of origin. So I think the bottom line is we do have security officers that are foreign nationals and are allowed in terms of our legislation. You will recall that the bill, the amendment bill, was trying to also address the issue of equity with regard to foreign nationals and so on. Unfortunately, during that process of processing the piece of legislation, we were unable to amend that part of the legislation. So the new amendment act as well still makes provision for that part. I think the reason for that is that there were constitutional decisions that were constitutional court cases that affirmed certain rights of people with already permanent resident status in the country. So that, unfortunately, is still the status quo as we speak.
Thank you, Chairperson. There was a question around the issue of the our response on issues of corporate social responsibility that came from the members. If you look at page 91 up to 92 of the annual report, we do give a report in that regard. But I would like to take a few ones. I'm not going to read all of them. Therefore, us addressing the issue of being responsive to the needs of the ordinary security officers on the ground. One of the things that we've done, if we look at the last part, we're starting to celebrate now annually the achievement by these brave security officers. We now have what we call academic achievers in the private security. If you look there, there's a young lady who came, these are issues in public, who's a software engineer, Utobile Mabanga, and who went to Twitter appreciating the fact that it's a dad who's an ordinary security officer who took her to school to become a software engineer. SIRA was given an award in that regard and recognized that achievement. There's also an unsung hero, Mr. Foster Matebula, a G4 executive officer who graduated with LSB and currently an LLM student at UNISA, is now one of the managers at G4 has, coming from being a great E officer and rising up to those levels. So these are stories that we're celebrating.
But we've also, and also the case with Mr. Ngoli Ngoli, who took himself back to school at the age of 43, and now is a master's graduate at the University of Free State in government. These are stories that we celebrate. But we've also gone an extra mile with a forging partnership with OK Bazaar, and also we're trying to extend that to other institutions whereby the guards, if they produce their cards, they can get discount at the shops. We've also signed an agreement with Prasa, whereby they also get a discount or at the train station, but if they are wearing the uniform. And that will also more or less act as a deterrent also to people who are taking trains, that there is in our midst a security officer in that regard. But we'll also keep on trying improving in this regard. We've also launched the first golf day, we call it Minister's Golf Day, whereby we also raise funding and make sure that with those funding we are able to expand in terms of contributing towards our corporate social responsibility, the which are present and possible.
Thank you very much. It's
very
clear, Chairman, that you didn't market yourself well. thank you very much, because that's what communities would like to know. When you do this, what in return do you do? That is a good work, I must say. Highly appreciated. Thank you. Can we go to the audit? Are you done?
Yeah, there was comments that were coming from the chair. The comments are noted. In the next presentation, there will be statements. However, we also are appreciating the learning curve, but there was nothing much that was raised. All what we are saying, we have put internal control and we have put measures in place to ensure that those KPIs that lead to sustainability and clean audit are going to be implemented and monitored by the oversight structure. Thanks.
Chair, I'm not sure if we've answered the question regarding the building.
No, it was an observation. It's just that it's in the annual report. One did that observation to show that we do go through to check on these other things. We can make up our mind on it. It's just an observation to think about. I think before I check on the also one of the faculty, I want to check on the when do the applications of security companies. And I'm asking this question because I heard of a security company that couldn't even have a insurance for one of their own. That person died in, you know, working, and the next thing they couldn't assist in anything. Now I want to check, if you do check those companies, do you really have an insurance or insure people, or they depend on your fidelity fund? You know, myself, maybe it's one of those things that looking at the unemployment of women, that most of the time you find if their partners or spouses are killed, they remain with nothing. And we are thinking about, let us also be critical and think ahead of the situation that we see in our country. How best can we advise those companies as they can be? I appreciate the new companies that you are bringing of women. And I don't know how you evaluate them, because they cannot compete with those with male companies that have been there in a majority, so that they can also do well. And I can tell you right now that the Fafu and the Malepo, the women will tell you that if you give them work in security in schools, there will never be a problem, because the women, we deal with issues differently. And I'm saying at schools and market, and try it somewhere, and you'll come and tell me that that school has successes or not. Thank you. Over to Honorable Falco.
It was like you are reading my mind. I wanted to raise that. You know, I once did a course dealing development studies. You know, part of crimes that are happening, because most of the time we don't have people in the same surroundings to look after their own things and after their children. So So I think it is important that it is the point that we are in the chat, that is the focus. And I, even in the annual report, it stated that you have a good relationship with South African Police Services. We have a serious crisis in schools, and I'm happy that you have done a research. And I think that we need to be proactive and produce that research to the minister, so that we don't wait for education to come up, so that the minister can interact with the Minister of Education, because every day you have a young person that is killed. My second issue was the issue of, you know, I understand that you train your security in your core business, but also there's an element of customer service. If you go to hospitals, I will make an example, sometimes the way security guards treat people, ordinary people. So I think that is one element, perhaps, Chair, that you need to focus on. On my last point, advocate, perhaps, maybe if, I don't know if she can give us a glimpse on the issue of the recommendation that you have said that you have made on the issue of firearms. Perhaps if we just, even if it's not the full detail, but if we can hear the recommendation that you have made with regard to the fire protection.
Thank you very much, the leadership. The only thing that I would like to highlight is that taking into account about the annual report that CIRA has provided, and I've just perused it now, a lot of questions that you are asking, actually they are in here. And it's a point that you got this thing this morning. You should have read this thing before. And then by the time we come here, we are already actually have gone through it, and then we wouldn't even be repeating what we are repeating, because a lot of questions that we have asked are answered in this manual. And I would like to plead with you, Chair, that in the near future, we must be provided with this things almost 3 days or 2 days before, so that we are able to go through them. And by the time we come and engage, we are engaged with the document that you already know. Because even some of the, really, a lot of questions that have been asked there, by the time I looked at this thing, the answers are in here. So I would like us to be mindful of that. Thank you.
I think on that, I was thinking that we'll talk about it, because it's also not only on this, but you might find that the problem is not them. Yeah. We should look at ourselves, where the distribution, and I'm saying this because I've discovered something on lucky enough, I saw it yesterday on that document, and that's why I could be able to say, where is this social responsibility of the child? Because they couldn't bring themselves to that. Not everybody will have time to do everything, but on your slide you hint on certain things. But that point is taken, Honourable Member. Honourable Shimbeni.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine, I think, is outside the everything. I just wanted to find out about the issue of leaves in the security industry. And that one of the minimum wage. That is it well looked after? How are these people, the leave policy, is it one to the whole security industry, or those companies are doing as it pleases? Thank you.
Maybe as you go and answer now, I want to know, how far are you with the uniform compliance? Remember when people were said they told you the same uniform as the police and all that, and I'm sure you can now take us in on to the remaining.
Thank you, Chairperson. If I were to address the outstanding, it was a question on firearms. I'm not quite sure if we've addressed it, what it's related to.
Okay, can you please explain me? I think you said that you have made the recommendation on the firearms and then the
but maybe I can just talk about the uniform regulations that were presented in the previous sitting. We are in the process of consolidating all the comments that we received, and we are in the process of dispatching that to the office of the minister for the minister to sign off the regulation.
I think Honourable Fatou, when she asked about the firearms, is because we are still in that issue of the amnesty, that we know that the Gun Free Association, the gun owners, the hunters, all of them, you know, they're having different views. I'm sure she thought you are going to raise it on your side. What are the challenges? But you are going to leave it for now, because I understand that the Deputy Minister will be calling on a seminar or something on today.
Thank you, Chair. There was a question about, in terms of the cover that we have for security officers should they die in the line of duty. Chair, what we have in place is the Provident Fund. On the Provident Fund of security officers, they have one, the life cover. They also have a funeral cover in case a member die in the line of duty. But some of the challenges that we're trying to address with the guarantee fund is exactly the questions that the chair has sketched out. The lessons we've learned so far with the drafting of the concept is that there's quite a lot of regulators around the space. Just to give you, for instance, if a person gets injured in the line of work, compensation departments take care of that. There is also a specific insurance that they have that looks after, you know, those kind of things. So we're looking at what are the gaps in the industry so that we're able to close those gaps. And the same relates also to the liability of companies with regard to their client. If you're a client of a security company and you are aggrieved by the negligence or the loss of a property or anything, what can be done? I think that those are some of the questions. But I agree that perhaps what is there is not enough. In the case of the security officer that you've mentioned, Chair, it could be a question of non-compliance by that company. Ordinarily, if the security company is belonging to a provident fund and all members are covered, there shouldn't be issues about the funeral benefits as well as the loss of life that takes place in the line of duty. Chair, the question about the customer service, we tend to agree, Chair, there is a number of complaints that we receive that will deal with them, and I think it's something that has to do with the training. We will look into the training that we have, the current training that we have, and to see to what extent can we address the issue of customer services as well as the issue of human rights. But I'm quite sure that with regard to the training that we'll be deploying in the nearer future with regard to security officers operating in the schools as well as in the campuses and so on, the issue of human rights and the code of conduct has been addressed in those type of training. There was also a question about leave, whether the security officers are entitled to leave. Yes, they are entitled to leave. It is actually made provision for that in the sectoral determination that dealt with it. If you look at the sectoral determination, it's a clear mirror of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act in terms of leave provision. So they are entitled to leave. It could be that some of the security companies are not adhering to those provisions or are not respecting the contract they've entered into between them and the security officer with regard to leave. And some of them tend to abuse it because in the security industry, for instance, if you work shifts, so at times they give you more shifts instead of giving you leave and so on. So those complaints, and most of them, the Department of Labor deals with them and addresses them in a form of compliance, orders that they issue out, but we also are able to address them collectively, the security companies that are found not complying in that space. So we've covered most of the questions.
The last part that you didn't cover, I asked about your disability percentage, Jonathan.
Thank you, Chair. Unfortunately, Chairperson, we do not have those deaths, but we are aware that there is a lot of security officers that are disabled that are employed. For instance, those that we know that were injured in the line of duty are no longer capable of using their limbs and so on, are deployed in closed circuit television monitoring rooms, are deployed in operation centers and so on. So there is quite a lot of, we just don't have those statistics at the moment, but I'm sure with the new deployment of our ERP, which is an enterprise resource and planning tools, we'll make sure that as we gather the data, we will also gather data with regard to disability in the industry, so that we're able to account on it.
In your office?
The building, and whether do we have funds to buy?
No, I'm saying in your component of the staff in the office, people with disabilities, we're talking about those external companies. But in your office?
We do have in our office, Chair.
The percentage is not sure there.
It's quite a small number, though, but we do have, I think we've reported about it as well in the other report. We'll just check the number.
Okay. I'm raising this because your industry works with public. And I wonder if you would want to consider that you will one day go to the People's Disability Association and look at those with the sight damage. Because you can have in the entrance of hospitals and areas to have people with disability, because those people, they also go to those areas. They do go to the municipalities, but you'll never get a person with the sign language. You'll go to the municipalities, for example, you find signs written there, you know, with the signs. It's not enough. Maybe their desk must be encouraged, especially in the public space, hospitals, home affairs, and all that, to have sign language security personnel. Sometimes we'll get our ordinary people that are security personnel, but that they are willing to go and learn about the sign language. And I wish that we can consider that. And I'm extending this message because we work with one in Parliament and who educates us every day that don't forget about us, don't want to see them on TV. When you go into public spaces, you come across them. And let us accommodate them, because we can have a lot of people that actually can't be able to run anymore, but a person is willing on your academy. Add that as an add-on to say those who want to do the sign language is a plus. At our airport, we don't have securities that are actually catering for people with the sign language. Thank you. Honourable members, I think we have come to the end of our meeting. Am I correct? And are you happy? I think on our side, I'm not going to say it, but today it's Shembeni who's going to tell you how you are rating with us on the work. I know she said something. Honorable Shembeni.
Thank you, Jefferson, but as we have said, that it's a job well done. So thank you very much.
I think that's what we do. We have to be honest. When we are not happy, we say it. And we said even to from South African Police Service that when we come to issues of safety, security, policing the country, it should never be politicized. Where there are challenges, we should be able to talk and be able to say that here we are not agreeing with you. Hence, when we talk to you, we'll always give you a feedback on things that we are not happy about. But every time you come, you know that we'll add on giving you ideas of where you go and help. Because at the end of the day, we are public representatives. We must be able to give you an input on adding on what you're doing. I would like to take this opportunity to thank you and thank also the officials that are working hard here. And you are welcome to have our tea, and we will be seeing you next time. Thank you.